In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly King, Paraclete, Spirit of Truth, you who are everywhere present and fill all things, treasury of all that is good, Master of life, come, dwell within us, cleanse us from all stain, and save our souls, O good one. Mary, cause of our joy, pray for us. Amen. We're going to talk about the 23rd Sunday in Ordinary Time. And first we're going to, as we've been doing, look at Verbum Domini. We'll be looking at numbers 26 and 27. They are two sides of the same reality. Disobedience and obedience, if you will. That is, sin, that's the title of this section, 26, sin as a refusal to hear the word of God. Or, if you will, to listen to the word of God. Okay? And then, the next section is Mary, mother of God's word and mother of faith. Example of somebody who never denied God anything and who lived by the word of God. So, the first part starts, number 26. The word of God also inevitably reveals the tragic possibility that human freedom can withdraw from this covenant dialogue with God for which we were created. The divine word also discloses the sin that lurks in the human heart. Quite frequently, in both the Old and the New Testament, we find sin described as a refusal to hear the word, as a breaking of the covenant. I don't want to hear it. And in many languages, we have two words, hear and listen to. Yeah, I can hear the word of God without listening to it, without yielding to it. And that's obedience, is to yield to it. Now, as you know, this is a beautiful promise in John 14:21. The one who has my word and keeps it is the one who loves me. And he will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and show myself to him. So yielding to the word of God is the path along which we go in order to arrive at that point of revelation where I will show myself to him. Guaranteed. We just try to obey the Lord. You see, and so the challenge is to listen, to obey, to trust. And we have lots of ways we don't do that. We either stay distracted, you know, keep the radio on or the TV on, or and run around doing stuff. So we don't have to hear it. Because if we hear it and are confronted, at least we're bright enough to know. And then we say no. It's a worse sin. So we're trying to keep the sins at a minimum without really disobeying God. I tell you, it's not going to work for a long time. Sacred Scripture shows how man's sin is essentially disobedience and refusal to hear. The radical obedience of Jesus, even to his death on the cross, completely unmasks this sin. Jesus was obedient unto death, death on a cross. In other words, it's the Father's will that matters, and doing the Father's will, because God is love, and the Father is the source, even within the Trinity. That's why Jesus taught us to pray, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We got a long way to go, because the best of us are not batting 1,000 for sure. So this sin is unmasked by our Lord's obedience, okay? It's his obedience that brings about the new covenant between God and man and grants us the possibility of reconciliation, this profound reconciliation. All the reconciliation of the old covenant was an anticipated participation, partial, in the reconciliation worked by the act of love in which Jesus died on the cross in total obedience to God. And that's why St. Luke puts there, "Into your hands I commend my spirit." Jesus was sent by the Father as a sacrifice of atonement for our sins and for those of the whole world. We are thus offered the merciful possibility of redemption and the start of a new life in Christ. That's why Paul speaks about the obedience of faith. See, it's yielding to the truth, yielding to the word, yielding to the will of God. You see? For that reason, it is important that the faithful be taught to acknowledge that the root of sin lies in the refusal to hear the word of the Lord. Now, this is important. We're going to hear in the first reading Ezekiel set up as a watchman to tell them when they're sinning. And the Lord says, if you don't tell them and they sin, they die and you die. If you do tell them and they change, everybody's happy. If you do tell them and they don't change, they die, but you don't. And this is the whole theme, as we're going to see, of fraternal correction. For this reason, it is important that the faithful be taught to acknowledge that the root of sin lies in the refusal to hear the word of the Lord and to accept in Jesus the word of God, the forgiveness which opens up our salvation. So you see, the message is twofold. Turn from sin and believe the gospel, that is, receive the mercy, the life, the beneficence of God. So, if we continue to listen to Scripture, continue to read it, little by little, it will change us. And we will be obedient to God. And now we begin number 27, the title I've already given you, Mary, Mother of God's Word and Mother of Faith. Synod Fathers declared that the basic aim of the 12th Assembly, this is very important, the basic aim of this 12th Assembly was, quote, to renew the Church's faith in the Word of God. That's a powerful statement, implying that our faith in the Word of God had gotten pretty weak. Well, there's lots of reasons for that. People don't read it. The historical critical method tore it to shreds in the hands of those who didn't know how to handle it because of their own philosophical presuppositions and so forth. And so, now if we're going to renew our faith in the Word of God, the Pope says, we need to look to the one in whom the interplay between the Word of God and faith was brought to perfection. That is, to the Virgin Mary, who by her yes to the covenant and her mission perfectly fulfilled the word of God. Now, you see, there are texts which speak of this. Augustine says, full of faith, she first conceived Christ in her mind before she conceived him in her womb. So, quando paperit, credendo concepit. Now, Leo picks that up, St. Leo, and says, she first conceived in her mind, she conceived in her mind before she conceived in her body. That's very important. That the Word of God enter us. It enters her, you see? And so, that's what they're saying. The human reality created through the Word finds its most perfect image in Mary's obedient faith. Again, obedience, yielding, trusting. I'll do it your way. Now, it might be nice to just look at some texts. I gathered a few. To imagine our Mary, the Mother of God, and our Mother praying. Some of these are from Psalm 119. Here's one. I run in the path of your commands but you have set my heart free. Try to imagine Mary praying these things, you see? Give me understanding and I will keep your law and obey it with all my heart. Direct me in the path of your commands, for there I find my delight. Another one from the same psalm. How I love your law. I ponder it all day long. And last one, let your face shine on your servant and teach me your will. You see how beautiful. Other things that Our Lady read from Baruch, Israel, blessed are you. What pleases God has been made revealed to us. Huh? And then in the Psalms, how many in the other Psalms besides 118? Huh? And then the prophecies. Can you imagine Mary reading these prophecies and yearning for this to happen? Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains would tremble before you, as when fire sets twigs ablaze and causes water to boil. Come down to make your name known to your enemies and cause the nations to quake before you. For when you did awesome things that we did not expect, you came down and the mountains trembled before you. What did she think when she read things like Zephaniah 3? Shout for joy, daughter of Zion, Israel, shout aloud. Rejoice, exult with all your heart, daughter of Jerusalem. Adonai has repealed your sentence. He has turned your enemy away. Adonai is king among you. Israel, you have nothing more to fear. What do you think she thought when she was reading these, thinking of these? Huh? And as these saints have just told us, first she conceived the word in her mind through these texts, and then she conceived them, him, in her body. The Pope goes on then to tell us, in our day, the faithful need to be helped to see more clearly the link between Mary of Nazareth and the faith-filled hearing of the Word of God, what I just tried to do. I would encourage scholars as well to study the relationship between Mariology and the theology of the Word. It's quite a challenge. This could prove both beneficial for the spiritual life and for theological and biblical studies. Indeed, what the understanding of the faith has enabled us to know about Mary stands at the heart of Christian truth. Mary, her reactions, the work of God in her, stands at the heart of Christian truth, namely, the incarnation of the Word. It cannot be conceived apart from the freedom of this young woman who, by her assent, decisively cooperated with the entrance of the eternal into time. And that's why she is the image of the Church. She also symbolizes openness to God and others, active listening, which interiorizes and assimilates one in which the Word becomes a way of life. Yielding. So you see, obeying is yielding because the Word of the Lord is a power, it's a force. When we yield, we're not just saying, oh, all right. We're yielding to a blessing which is a power and a force in us. And it liberates us. It frees us. It gives us confidence. And our model is Mary, the Mother of God.